Grace be multiplied to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is coming soon. The text for our consideration on this, the third Advent Sunday, is written in Philippians in chapter 4, verses 4 to 7, where the Apostle Paul writes, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Here ends our text. In the name of Jesus, our blessed Savior, King, dear Christian friends, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. That is the message that the pink Advent candle proclaims to us, as I mentioned earlier. And it is very fitting for us to be given that reminder, because the whole purpose of the Advent season is to direct our hearts in repentance and faith to the coming Savior and the work that God sent him to do in our behalf, so that we might live under him and his kingdom and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and joy. You know, the Bible tells us that the holy angels of God who stand before his throne in heaven are always joyful. It fills them with highest delight to think about how God, in his undeserved love, accomplished the salvation of our fallen human race. They don't need to be encouraged to rejoice, but we do. Amidst the troubles and cares of our everyday lives, also as we prepare to celebrate another Christmas festival, the call goes out to us from our congregation's namesake, Paul. Dear Christians, one and all, rejoice. Always. We're going to talk about that today, what the key to our rejoicing as Christians is, what's the nature of our joy, and how we may express it as Christians along our life's path. Now, there's nothing that people, generally speaking, are looking for more in their lives than joy, right? Everybody wants to be happy. There was a popular hit on the radio years ago, had a very catchy tune, catchy lyrics, went something like this. Here's a little song I wrote. You might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry, be happy. Ain't got no place to lay your head. Somebody came and took your bed. The landlord say your rent is late. You even have to litigate. In every life we have some trouble. When you worry, you make it double. So don't worry, be happy. Now, it's one thing to encourage folks to lay aside the cares and worries of their lives, and it's quite another, is it not, for their hearts to be filled with a deep-down, bona fide happiness. A lot of folks are inclined to look for joy and happiness in the wrong places, things that leave their hearts still feeling sad and empty, things that money can buy. They can wear fancy clothes, live in a beautiful home, drive a nice car, travel to nice places, eat yummy food, which indeed are blessings of God we are thankful for and we can be happy about. Indeed, the Lord is so gracious to us, giving us such things. But we know, don't we, that these are not the things that provide us with true joy. And in our text, Paul teaches us what the key to true happiness is when he says, rejoice in the Lord and all the blessings that he's given to us in his son Jesus, the Bethlehem Christ child. And dear friends, he's not the Apostle Paul here calling upon us to have a kind of silly numbness to our circumstances amidst the troubles and problems of our lives, or to a giddy insensitivity to troubles that others that we know and love are suffering. Emotional or physical pain, it's still pain, right? Hurt still hurts. These things are real, but what lifts our hearts in such times of hurt and trouble, you know that as a Christian, it's the knowledge that because of his gift of full forgiveness for your sins, you are his dearly blood-bought child. The hymn writer put it like this, that when sinners see their lost condition and feel the pressing load of sin, and Jesus comes on his blessed mission to heal the sin-sick heart within, all grief must flee before his grace, and joy divine will take its place. Do you know that when the Apostle Paul penned the letter from which our text is taken, Philippians, and by the way, it's been described as his epistle of joy, because in it Paul exudes joy and exhorts his readers to be joyful. He was suffering as a prisoner under house arrest at Rome. It was in that uncomfortable circumstance of his life that Paul urged his fellow Christians to be happy because of the relationship that they enjoyed with their Lord, which he established for them when he brought them to faith in Christ. Earthly joy is a natural byproduct of guaranteed eternal joy that you have in Jesus. Our earthly joy is heightened, isn't it? It's increased, multiplied, amplified by the anticipation of the joy that we know shall be ours on the day of Jesus' second advent, when all the uncomfortable and painful experiences that we have right now that are unpleasant shall be like a dream that's past. You ever have dreams? Wake up in the morning, that was a weird dream, and later that day, well, you don't even remember it. Well, that's how it's going to be like when we're in heaven. We won't even remember the troubles of our present life. Jesus said the night before he died, I tell you the truth, to his disciples, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will be turned into joy. A woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come, but when her baby's born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that the child has been born into the world. So with you. Now is your time of grief, but I will see you again, and you will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. Now let's go on to consider, dear friends, how we may express this joy that the Lord has given to us along our life's pathway. Paul writes in verse 5, let your gentleness be evident to all. And here I'd like to delve into with you a little bit for a minute on the meaning of that word gentleness in the original language of Greek. It's a translation of the word epieikes, very, very full of meaning, so much so that it's difficult to capture the meaning of it with a single English word. If you compare Bible translations, they all have a kind of different word translation for it, like reasonableness, willingness to yield, graciousness, forbearance, considerateness. You almost need a longer phrase to define epieikes. It's kind of like a meekness that's tempered by patience and humility. So Paul is saying here, again, as joy-filled Christians in Christ, to strive in our dealings with others along our life's path to maintain an even temperedness, an inner calm. Kind of like a person on a deck of a ship in the midst of a storm with the water splashing up and the ship rocking back and forth, isn't panicky, but is filled with composure. Paul instructed Titus the same truth in his letter. He said to remind the Christians to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, there's that word epikeis in the original, and to show true humility to everyone. And James, same thought in the letter that he wrote, the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, then epikeis, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. It's in James 3, verse 17. Admittedly, dear friends, this trait is quite a rare gift in our world. We Christians, too, we will confess, will we not, that it's quite a challenge to exhibit epikeis in the changing scenes of our lives. We're not always good at making allowances for the failings of other people. We tend to get ruffled, bent out of sorts, sometimes over the most trivial things. We're tempted to speak in uncaring ways. We get ourselves in a dither, even as we prepare to celebrate the happy Christmas festival. And as we increase in years, we may find it even more challenging to maintain an even-keeled temperament, to follow the holy example of Jesus, who exhibited epikeis always and perfectly for us, all the way to Calvary. So yeah, we do need this exhortation from the Lord. Let your gentleness be evident to all. Notice also the wonderful encouragement that comes right after that exhortation, where Paul says, the Lord is near. So Paul reminds us that there's only just a little time between now and the day when we'll see the Savior. That prospect of the Lord's coming on the clouds as our glorious King to reign is marvelous motivation indeed for exhibiting gentleness of spirit and Christian forbearance towards others along life's path. Paul goes on to provide another word of exhortation, instruction for us, how we may express our Christian joy in Christ. He says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Now, it is very true, is it not, that we need to be concerned, we need to have cares about our lives, our various duties and responsibilities, parents, fathers, breadwinners, and so forth, providing for our needs, our children's needs, college education of our children, our future retirement, and so forth. The Lord is not saying here that all care and concern for our lives is out of place, but he's referring here to anxious cares. He wants us to know that we can count on him always to provide for our needs as we give attention foremost to the needs of our souls. We can say with the psalmist very confidently, I will lift up my eyes to the hills from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord who has made the heavens and the earth. While it's true that the cares of this life are always going to exercise a strong influence upon our hearts and a strong temptation, it's always going to be true. Remember what Paul wrote to Timothy? A lot of people who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and many foolish and harmful desires that plunge them into ruin and destruction. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Still, well, that's true. It's also true, wonderfully true, that as we rejoice in all that Advent and Christmas means, and as in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving we present our request to God, as we live in daily anticipation of his second advent, he will enable us more and more to lay aside our anxious cares. Finally, Paul says, The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Here the apostle's word of exhortation rises to a grand, beautiful crescendo. He assures us that the peace that we enjoy of sins forgiven, the peace that flows out to us from the manger child, Jesus, the peace that's so simple that even a little child is able to grasp it, what it means to have a Savior, and yet so sublime that the high and mighty of the world can't fathom it. Rational thinking always tends to put its trust in things that depress the soul, don't give true peace. Paul says, the peace of God, this shall guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And one little mini lesson on the Greek again before closing today on that word guard in the Greek, very beautiful word. It's actually a military term, which means literally to protect by a military guard to prevent from hostile invasion. So it means that God uses the peace of Christ like a protective wall as a sentry to keep guard over your hearts and minds. He uses it as a shield to shield you from whatever might disturb your peace and steal away your Christian joy. Think of those two blessings like two links in a chain that are forever interlocked. As a rejoicing Christian in Christ, you have Christ's peace. And when you have Christ's peace, peace of sins forgiven, the knowledge of being a child of God and an heir of heaven, you have His joy. So may the Savior fill your heart with such joy in believing, and may He make your Advent and Christmas celebrating truly peaceful. And may this prayer also fill your heart. May this bounteous God through all our life be near us with ever joyful hearts and blessed peace to cheer us and keep us in His grace and guide us when perplexed and free us from all ills in this world and the next. Amen. And the peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, shall guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within. Your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Hold with your Spirit.